All right, everyone, we're live. Let's have a fun meeting. Thank you.
Okay. Good evening. My name is Todd Sachs, and I'm Chief of CARB's Enforcement Division. Thank you for attending today. Whether on Zoom or watching on the webcast, welcome. These are challenging times, and we certainly wish that we could do this meeting in person, but our hope is that Zoom and a webcast will be the next best thing. We are attempting to do the workshop in both Spanish and English. Our goal is to ensure everyone can participate and that each of you will understand what we are saying. To that end, we're willing to stay here until all of your questions are answered. So at this point, I'd like to turn it over to David Thompson to explain some of the ground rules for this, and we'll go from there. David.
Thanks, Todd. Like Todd said, my name is David Thompson, and I will provide some information on how public participation will be organized for today's workshop. If you wish to make a verbal comment, you must be using Zoom webinar or calling in by telephone. If you are currently watching the webcast on Calspan, but you do not want to and you do want to comment, please register for the Zoom webinar or call in. Information for both or call in. Information for both can be found on the workshop notice. We will be pausing to take comments and questions after each section of slides. To make a verbal comment, we will be using the raise hand feature on Zoom. Please virtually raise your hand to let us know you wish to speak. To do this, if you are using a computer or tablet, there is a raise hand button. If you are calling in on the telephone, dial star 9 to raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand, we will not be notified that you would like to speak. Interpretation services will be provided this evening in Spanish. If you are joining us using Zoom, there is a button labeled Interpretation on the Zoom screen. You can click on the Interpretation button and select Spanish to change the language to Spanish.
Servicios de traducción estarán disponibles esta noche en español. Si estás usando Zoom, hay un botón con la frase interpretación en la parte baja de la pantalla. Puedes hacer clic en el botón y seleccionar español para cambiar el idioma español.
If you are giving your verbal comment in Spanish, please indicate so at the beginning of your comment and our translator will assist you. During your comment, please pause after each sentence to allow for the interpreter to translate your comment into English. When the comment period starts, the order of commenters will be determined by who raises their hand first. I will call each commenter by name and then activate each commenter when it is their turn to speak. For those calling in, I will identify you by the last three digits of your phone number. We will not show a list of commenters. However, I will be announcing the next three or so commenters in the queue so you are ready to speak and know who is coming up next. Please note, you will not appear by video during your comments. I would also like to remind everyone to please state your name for the record before you speak. This is important in this new remote meeting setting. It is especially important for those calling in to give comments. If you wish to submit written comments today, please visit CARB's Send Us Your Comments page or look at our website for links to send these documents electronically. I would like to give a friendly reminder to our CARB staff to please mute yourself when you are not speaking to avoid background noise. Also, when you do speak, please speak from a quiet location. Thank you. I'll now turn it back to Todd.
Thanks, David. Excuse me. This workshop is to discuss CARB's review of the San Joaquin Valley APCD's Emission Reduction Credit Program. This review has been ongoing for about a year and a half. It has been a cooperative effort between CARB and the district, and tonight we will go over the contents of the final report for you. I'd like to introduce our staff who will be speaking tonight. First, Dave Mallory.
Hello. I'm David Mallory. I'm the manager of the equipment registration section in the enforcement division here at CARB.
Courtney Graham.
Hi, I'm Courtney Graham. I am the manager of the permit evaluation and support section in the enforcement division at CARB.
And Brian Clerico.
Hi, I'm Brian Clerico. I'm an air pollution specialist in the enforcement division here at CARB.
Okay. One important note, point to note at the outset. Our discussion today is primarily focused on gathering public input, and it's informal. We may not always have a full response to comments and suggestions today, depending on the complexity of the comment, and our initial responses are staff level. So should not be taken as the final position of CARB. We look forward to hearing from everyone today. I will now turn it over to Brian Clerico, Air Quality Specialist, to give the presentation. Brian?
Good evening. Today I am presenting our review of the San Joaquin Valley Emission Reduction Credit System. Federal law through the Clean Air Act establishes the framework for permitting of stationary sources. A permit defines the conditions under which a stationary source, such as a factory, can emit air pollution. This framework has been in place since 1977. California law grants authority for permitting to local air districts and authorizes CARB to review the implementation of district programs. Permits are required for new or expanding sources. The application of permitting is intended to avoid a significant increase in emissions on a regional basis while allowing for economic growth. A new or modifying source applies for a permit that, when granted, authorizes construction of the new or modified facility subject to certain conditions. In non-attainment areas, such as the San Joaquin Valley, new source review requirements help define these conditions. A facility may be subject to best available control technology or BACT requirements and required to offset emission increases. Emission reduction credits, or ERCs, are the currency of offsets. Emission reduction credits are banked emission reductions. A facility that closes or installs emission controls beyond what is legally required can quantify emission reductions and apply for an emission reduction credit, or ERC. The district evaluates the application and grants an ERC certificate. New source review requirements are established and implemented at a local level, provided they meet federal and state requirements. These programs are complex, and each air district writes regulations that are a function of their attainment status and other local circumstances. Local rules specify procedures and requirements for the application of BACT and the use of offsets. And they also specify the process and methodologies for issuing an ERC. ERCs are emission reductions resulting from the shutdown of a facility or the installation of emission controls beyond regulatory requirements at a facility. A facility applies for the ERC, and the district reviews the application to ensure the reductions are real, quantifiable, surplus of regulatory requirements, permanent, and enforceable. If the district approves the application, it issues a certificate. Once issued, an ERC is held by the facility. The facility may apply to the district to split the ERC into several smaller certificates and may sell or trade the certificate to another facility wishing to use the ERC as an offset. The way an ERC is valued in the San Joaquin Valley is different than the standard federal program. This is allowed under federal law, provided that the local program is more stringent overall. In this situation, a district must prove its program is more stringent by conducting an analysis and submitting that analysis to US EPA. Our goal has been to review the San Joaquin Valley's Air Pollution Control District's ERC system, including the equivalency determination, and explain it in the context of the broader district program for reducing emissions from stationary sources, including new source review, permitting, and regulatory requirements. This report does provide recommendations which are offered in the spirit of opportunities for improving the district's programs moving forward. We want to acknowledge district staff cooperation during this review. The district provided access to databases and electronic access to hundreds of documents that were the subject of this review. We discussed the results of our review extensively with district staff. The issues in the report are complex and open to interpretation. So while in most cases we agree, there are areas where district and CARB opinions diverge. These areas are noted in the report. This report does identify findings that need to be addressed, and the district is publicly committed to addressing them through a public process and taking specific actions. We will continue working with the district as they implement these steps. The district will be implementing a robust public process to address the findings in our report. The district will hold a public workshop each year before submitting the equivalency report to the district's governing board. The district will enhance the equivalency demonstration report for transparency. Finally, the district will convene a public advisory working group to assist in developing solutions related to the district's offset equivalency system, as needed to maintain an effective permitting system that allows for strong economic growth and protection of public health. The district has also committed to taking specific actions to address the findings of the report. This includes adjusting electrification projects to reflect appropriate load factors and incorporating adjustments in the 2020 equivalency demonstration, analyzing orphan shutdown projects identified in the report and making adjustments to the 2020 equivalency demonstration, and updating district policies and training to ensure orphan shutdown calculations are consistent with district NSR criteria. Now we'll pause to take questions.
If you wish to verbally comment, please virtually raise your hand now using the raise hand feature on Zoom or by dialing *9 via the telephone. Doesn't look like there's any comments at this time. We will now proceed with the next section of the presentation.
Okay, there are four components of our review. I think we're having a bit of trouble with the slides. Okay. There are four components of our review. Part one of our analysis describes the ERC banking system. Understanding the very complex local, state, and federal statutory and regulatory context for this program, especially in the context of NSR, is critical for determining if the system is operating properly. Part two of our analysis focused on reviewing 52 ERC banking actions. Each of these was a project for which an applicant applied for and was granted an ERC. Part three examines the district's equivalency demonstration, and part four reviews district permitting analyses for the application of offsetting requirements. Part 4 focused on a review of 30 authority to construct projects. Let's start with Part 1. The San Joaquin Valley Air District unified in 1992 under a uniform set of rules and regulations. Before that, each county was a separate air district with its own requirements. Since unification, the district has continuously strengthened its program over time, such that today stationary sources represent 15% of all NOx emissions in the San Joaquin Valley. Under the district's NSR rule, depending on the facts of a given project, the federal or district program may be more stringent regarding offset requirements, though when viewed across all projects, the district's NSR program must remain more stringent overall. A key distinction in the district's rule and offsetting requirements is when the surplus value of an ERC is determined. The district values ERCs at the time of issuance, whereas federal NSR values ERCs at the time of use. Under the district NSR rule, the value of an ERC is calculated when the ERC is issued, and the ERC retains that value throughout its life until it is used. This is called time of issuance value. In contrast, under the federal NSR rules, the value of an ERC is calculated first when it is created and again when it is used. This is called time of use value. Because many years often elapse between when an ERC is created and when it is used, the adoption of progressively stricter emission standards can cause the surplus value of an ERC to drop significantly. The time of use value will always be the same or lower than the time of issuance value. For example, imagine an ERC created from a shutdown of a boiler in 1990, which at the time emitted 10 tons per year. The time of issuance value is 10 tons per year forever. If used in 2010, that ERC is still worth 10 tons per year. However, imagine that in 1999, the district adopted a rule requiring an 80% emission reduction from boilers. Because the boiler for which the ERC had been generated would have been subject to the rule had it still been in use, the ERC valued at time of use is worth 2 tons per year. The difference in ERC valuation is important. Under the federal program, new or modifying sources must find sufficient ERCs valued at time of use to offset their increase in emissions. Because ERCs are often old and subject to significant discounting for more stringent rules over time, the applicant must find much more ERCs valued at time of use than they would have to find when valued at time of issuance. Under the district's program, new or modifying sources need only provide sufficient ERCs when valued at time of issuance. The district, instead of the applicant, must cover the difference in emission reductions between time of issuance and time of use. The district has submitted an equivalency demonstration consistent with its agreement with EPA every year for the past 18 years. The district has never failed to show equivalency. For a decade, covering the difference between time of issuance and time of use was not a challenge for the Air District. Their program applied to much smaller sources and contained a number of elements that were significantly more stringent than federal requirements. However, in 2010, the US EPA reclassified the district as extreme non-attainment. Because NSR and offsetting thresholds are dependent on the non-attainment status in the federal program, many local sources once covered only by the district program were now also subject to the federal program. This eliminated the substantial advantage the district program had over federal requirements. Since the reclassification, half of all VOC reductions and 75% of all NOx reductions included in the district's equivalency demonstrations were provided by reductions unrelated to the stringency of the district's NSR rules. Now we'll pause for questions.
Once again, if you wish to verbally comment, please virtually raise your hand using the raise hand feature on Zoom or by dialing *9 via the telephone. Looks like we have one comment from Loriani on. Laura, I have activated your microphone. Please unmute yourself to begin your comments.
Thank you. Brian, I just have one question. That last sentence you read, could you elaborate on that?
That's since the reclassification, half of all VOC reductions and 75% of all NOx reduction included in the district's equivalency demonstrations were provided by reductions unrelated to the stringency of the district's NSR rules. So what that means is that the reductions there in equivalency really have three sources. They're ERCs reserved or withdrawn for ATC projects, and that's right, sort of through the operation of the district's NSR rule. But the district has also used, as we'll see later, electrification projects and orphan reductions in their federal offset equivalency demonstration. So as a percentage for VOC and NOx, the orphan reductions and electrification projects have constituted an equal or majority of those reductions used to show equivalency.
Okay, thank you.
That was the final comment at this time. We will now proceed with the next section of the presentation.
Now we'll talk about part two, evaluation of ERC banking actions. Staff sampled 52 ERCs representing 201 individual banking certificates. The sample is designed to be statistically representative and to include ERCs discussed in the Earthworks report released in late 2018. The sample represents 4% of projects, 10% of certificates, and 25% of available NOx credits in the district's ERC bank. The sample includes a cross-section of ERC projects representing a variety of industries, ERC amounts, district region locations, pollutants, and dates banked. We evaluated the district emission calculations to determine whether the reductions conformed to local, state, and federal law, and whether the reductions met the five criteria of being real, quantifiable, surplus, permanent, and enforceable. These are the basic elements of producing a valid ERC. There are three areas where we found room for improvement: transparency, timeliness, and surplus requirements. One of the significant issues we identified was transparency. In about half of the projects we reviewed, the engineering evaluations did not contain sufficient information to replicate. For example, one ERC resulted from the shutdown of two floating roof tanks in 2017. The district's files provided no discussion of the reason the district chose an alternative baseline period for the facility rather than the 2 years immediately preceding the date of application. The engineering analysis also did not provide detail of the quarterly average production data, calculations, and using the raw data, CARB could not duplicate the analysis. Another ERC resulted from the shutdown of a sugar manufacturing facility. The throughput and fuel usage data in the application were supplied by a consultant without any supporting documentation or records. The file did not include any emission inventory submittals, nor any evidence that the district verified the information in the application. Another issue we identified, is the timeliness of applications. Under the district rule, applications must be submitted within 180 days of the date the emission reduction occurred. The district follows its policy, which defines the date and the emission reduction occurred as the date of surrender of the permit, or in inoperable and unmaintained condition, the owner cannot demonstrate an intent to operate. While the district's reliance on the policy with respect to application timeliness appears to have been consistent since 1992, CARB staff concludes that the policy and the rule are not aligned and should be modified accordingly. In four ERCs staff reviewed, it is unclear whether the reductions were truly surplus of the requirements at the time. For example, in one project, the district granted ERCs for the installation of best available controls under NSR requirements. While this was allowed by the district rule at the time, the rule appeared to conflict with federal and state law at the time. In another example, the district granted an ERC for the shutdown of an oil mill for seed processing in March of 2001. However, in May of 2000, US EPA had issued a notice of intent to revise a national air toxics requirement applying to this source. The district did not discount the ERC for the proposed federal requirement because its rules did not require it to do so. In April of 2001, the federal rule became final, which reduced the time of use value of the ERC by 280,000 pounds of VOC per year, a reduction of 80%. This example highlights why time of issuance ERCs can be problematic as a policy matter, given this notable difference in value. And now we'll pause for comments.
Again, if you wish to comment at this time, please virtually raise your hand now. Or if you are dialing in by phone, dial *9. Looks like we have two commenters. Sorry. The first commenter will be Jesus Alonso, and then the second commenter will be Thomas France. Jesus, I have activated your microphone. Please unmute yourself to begin your comments.
Hi. What percentage of ERCs were sampled again? Sorry, I missed that in the first slide, I believe.
Hi, this is Todd Sachs. We sampled 52 ERCs representing 201 individual banking certificates. And just to compare, that sample represents about 4% of all the projects in the bank, about 10% of all certificates in the bank, and it represents about 25% of available NOx credits in the bank. Hopefully that answers your question.
Thank you.
I have the next commenter is Thomas France. I have activated your microphone. Please unmute yourself to begin your comments.
Hello, Tom Franz here in Kern County. Regarding transparency, one reason the audit was needed of these ERCs is that many times ERCs from 30, 40 years ago, from before the formation of the Air District, are being used using this time of use value. Is staff now recommending anything about phasing out these old ERCs for which documentation is very sketchy, which is pointed out? Or are we just going to let that go and then try and do better from now on? And, but yet all of those old ERCs are still valid as time of use for new projects. Is that the case?
Yeah, so part of, this is Todd Sachs, part of, so CARB's role here is really in reviewing the district's program. The district is going to need to go back and figure out how to address the report. They've made a number of commitments that we've discussed previously and we'll discuss again at the end of the presentation. That's one of the issues they'll have to grapple with. But really, like we said, the focus of our recommendations is really going forward in the program. And the district's going to need to figure out how to implement their commitments in the spirit of moving forward in addressing the report.
And if I may, one more question. I didn't see anything in the report about the way ERCs are used in interpollutant trading. For example, very old ERCs consisting of SOX credits have been traded on a one-to-one ratio for new sources of PM2.5. Was that looked at all in the report? Because I think it should have been.
I don't believe we looked at any interpollutant trading as part of this report. I don't think we saw any of that in the ERCs that we reviewed, and I don't think we, we just didn't run across that in the parts of this system that we reviewed.
And did you run across any ERCs that were issued? This is probably comes under surplus. I can only give an example. California phased out the burning of coal for energy by putting a limitation on CO2 emissions per megawatt hour of electricity produced. And so the burning of coal was therefore no longer possible. Yet coal plants that shut down because of that law in the San Joaquin Valley were given emission reduction credits. Was that looked at, and does that sound possible? From a legal standpoint.
Yeah, so I think we did run across some ERCs, and we talk about this a little bit in our report, that related to ERCs that were granted for greenhouse gas emissions. And in those cases, there are some issues with source shifting that we discuss in the report. But in terms of anything specific about coal plants, I don't believe we came across anything related to that, unless Brian, you have more information and I'm missing something.
But if I'm still on, I'm talking about NOx and PM2.5 credits that were issued for a coal plant that was forced to shut down.
Yeah, I don't believe there was that we reviewed anything related to that. Brian, what do you think?
I'm trying to remember there may have been a plant in Hanford. It's been a number of months. I'd have to check into it. I'd be happy to get back to you though.
Okay, it's check Rio Bravo Jasmine in Kern County.
Okay.
Thank you.
Making a note.
We have had a couple more people wanting to comment. The next commenter will be Kevin Hamilton followed by Cynthia Pinto Cabrera. Kevin Hamilton, I have activated your microphone. Please unmute yourself to begin your comments.
Thank you, and thanks for this presentation tonight. Have you calculated how, I mean, you've got a lot of tons of NOx here. NOx has been freely used as a reduction for both PM2.5 and ozone as a precursor, and many of the rules that the district promulgates talk about reducing NOx from a lot of these sources are used interchangeably for both SIPs. So from what I'm hearing, please correct me if I'm wrong, this is a valid statistical sampling. And of the existing credits and certificates, and you estimate that about 25% of them lacked appropriate paperwork, documents to support the claim. That's a pretty significant number. And the one example you gave of the oil seed mill, it sounded like close to 250,000 tons of NOx were involved there, and 80% of those shouldn't have been granted in the first place. So this is a pretty significant hit to both the ozone SIP, and the existing ozone SIPs, and to the PM2.5 SIPs. Have you done any calculations so far to see, kind of determine, at least roughly estimate, what the reduction in the credited tonnage would be to those SIPs and how it affects their validity at this point, as they were approved by CARB? So, I think that calculation has to be made.
So, Kevin, a couple of things. The seed mill example that we were talking about was a VOC, not a NOx example.
Fair enough, but still precursors.
Yeah. Yeah, no, understood.
And a lot of them.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
So, we're going to be talking next about the equivalency demonstration, and that's really where we start to get into sort of what the implications are of some of the other things we found. I mean, these ERC issues that we identified, I think there's a real opportunity for the district to improve the transparency in the way it does its engineering evaluations, so that anybody, us, the public, when they're reviewing these things, can have confidence that the analysis is done correctly. And the district has committed to doing that. So, I mean, that's a good thing. It's something they're going to need to work through. I mean, that's going to really help strengthen their program. So I think it's a good start. And like I said, the district is, they've been good partners in this process, and they're committed to addressing these issues.
Yeah, I agree. Going forward, it sounds like there's a real commitment to change here. And I appreciate that, and that they've been good partners in this process for you. And this process has been very transparent from the beginning, and I appreciate all that. However, many of us have spent quite a bit of our lives, and including folks at the district, in working on these SIPs over the years, and trying to make sure that they're going to get us to clean air here in the San Joaquin. So we also have to consider, and we feel that this evaluation needs to consider, and it sounds like you're about to discuss, the equivalency and how that might affect existing SIP commitments. Or I hope you're going to go that far with it so we can better understand that. I'm done.
Yeah. Okay. After we've gone through the comments in this section, we'll go over the next and we'll see if it answers your question, and we can address additional comments if you have them.
I would just like to add quickly to Kevin's comment. In case I misspoke, it was 280,000 pounds of VOC, not tons. So that would be 140 tons.
I thought I heard you say tons. Yeah, that's a significant difference. Still a lot, but much different. Thank you for the clarification.
The next commenter will be Cynthia Pinto Cabrera. Cynthia, I have activated your microphone. Please unmute yourself and begin your comments.
Hi, good evening, everybody. Cynthia Pinto Cabrera here with Central Valley Air Quality Coalition. I just have a quick question about if CARB is planning on providing any oversight for these recommendations. As it was stated earlier, even CARB had some issues recreating some of the equivalencies and other things related to the ERCs, as well as inconsistencies with the timeliness of the application and the selection of the baseline period. So I was just interested in knowing how CARB plans to stay involved in ensuring this process does end up transparent and the timeliness issues get addressed.
Yeah. So yes, we are going to stay involved. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in the presentation. I mentioned that the district is, we mentioned that the district's going to be participating in, or setting up a public process to implement their commitments that we've talked about. And we intend to be a strong participant and continue to be partners with the district as they do that.
Yeah, that's extremely encouraging and glad to hear that. As partners, how often will things like the equivalency or the application be reviewed by CARB while they fix these issues? Like, how, moving forward, how will CARB prevent these kind of issues from happening again?
Yeah, well, we touch on that a little bit later in the presentation. So why don't we get there, see if that answers your question. And if not, let me know and I'll elaborate.
Perfect, thank you.
That was our final comment at this time. We will now proceed with the next section of the presentation.
Next, we will discuss part three of our evaluation, our examination of the federal offset equivalency demonstration. In order to thoroughly review the equivalency demonstration, staff evaluated the functionality of the data system, including project inputs, calculations, and processes. We reviewed the database, systems, and calculations used to develop the district's equivalency demonstration. We evaluated input emission reductions, which are the basis for demonstrating equivalency, sampling projects, and evaluating the original information behind each project. Finally, we worked to replicate calculations for both individual projects and the equivalency demonstration as a whole. The report describes in detail the work we conducted. We reviewed the database that is the underpinning of the district's equivalency demonstration. The database is not self-contained, meaning that project inputs and outputs are entered and removed several times during the process, which can be introduce human error in data handling. The database design does not enforce referential integrity, and as a result, we found stranded records and data handling discrepancies, which by themselves do not have a material impact on the equivalency demonstration. We reviewed the district's equivalency demonstration report. Overall, we found the report could be improved for transparency because there are year-to-year carryover adjustments which were not being documented and explained to the public. We also replicated the district's 2017 equivalency demonstration and found data inconsistencies. As discussed previously, the equivalency demonstration relies on electrification projects for NOx and orphan shutdowns for VOC. Electrification projects are projects that replace diesel engines with electrical irrigation pumps. Orphan shutdowns are emission reductions from shutdown facilities not claimed as ERCs. In both cases, the methods the district used to calculate emission reductions did not assure accuracy. In the mid-2000s, the utilities embarked on a program to generate emission reductions by replacing older diesel-fueled agricultural irrigation pumps with electrical pumps. This was called the Ag ICE program, and both CARB and districts ultimately worked to encourage and incentivize these projects. These projects generated substantial and real emission reductions. The district claimed a portion of these reductions for offset equivalency. Specifically, the district claimed the reductions in the emissions between a Tier 3 engine and a zero-emission irrigation pump. The other reductions from the original engine to the Tier 3 engine were reported to Carl Moyer. During our review, we identified several issues involving how the reductions were quantified, funded, and documented. Since 2008, 1,210.7 tons of NOx reductions generated from 919 electrification projects have been claimed and used for offset equivalency. In order to understand these projects, staff randomly selected and investigated 10 projects. In each of these projects, the district used a calculation method that is not appropriate, assuming a 100% load factor. A load factor is a measure of how hard an engine works, and a 100% load factor represents an engine operating at maximum power output all of the time. CARB methods, described in the Carl Moyer Funding Program guidelines, allow for the use of a 65% load factor. Using this method would result in 35% fewer claimed emission reductions. Carl Moyer methods also allow for an alternative calculation, which would result in at least 35% fewer claimed emission reductions. If these methods apply to all of the projects in the database, then electrification projects would be overcredited in the equivalency demonstration by at least 35%. Electrification projects were made possible by several funding sources, including from public utilities, and sometimes including Carl Moyer incentive funding. 6 of the 10 electrification projects we sampled received Carl Moyer funding. We wanted to determine how many projects might be Carl Moyer funded, and so we compared the data in the district and Carl Moyer databases. Based on this information, we believe about half of all electrification projects used in the district's equivalency demonstration received Carl Moyer funding. The use of projects funded by Carl Moyer calls into question their eligibility for use in the equivalency demonstration. We found no evidence that the reductions claimed for equivalency from these projects were claimed in any other part of the state implementation plan. There are several other issues which impact electrification projects. To be eligible for offset equivalency, according to district rule, the reduction must have been generated as a result of a permitting action. None of the 10 sampled engines had a permit prior to removal, and in none of the 10 projects was a permit granted for the replacing electric pump. In addition, in the 10 projects we reviewed, there is no guarantee of permanence. Ag ICE funded projects had a limited contract life of 10 years, and there was no requirement that a participant remain in the program. So these projects may not be enforceable permanently and therefore may not meet the criterion for permanence in the district's rule. Orphan shutdowns are reductions generated from shutdown of an emission source, which were not banked by the permit holder. About half of all VOC reductions used for offset equivalency came from orphan shutdowns. In order to understand these projects, staff selected 11 orphan shutdowns. We found the district's procedure for assessing emission reductions from orphan shutdowns is reasonable and appropriate with minor clarifications. However, when we reviewed the projects, most appeared overcredited because either the district didn't follow the procedures or didn't discount to reflect the appropriate surplus value. One project was overcredited by more than 500 tons per year of VOC. Now we'll pause for questions.
Once again, I'd like to remind you, if you wish to verbally comment, please virtually raise your hand now using the raise hand feature on Zoom or by dialing *9 via the telephone. It looks like we have a question. Thomas Franz, I have activated your microphone. Please unmute yourself and begin your comments.
Yes, Tom Franz from Kern County. I am a farmer and I'm quite familiar with a lot of these Carl Moyer programs through the years. And since you looked at the electrification of ice water pumps, why did you not also look at the exchange of old diesel tractors for like tier zero for tier three or tier four diesel tractors using Carl Moyer funding, and what kind of credits did the Air District claim from that, and was it appropriate? So did you look at that at all, or is that just a whole different area that you're not going to look at?
This is Todd Sachs. So what we did is we looked at the district's equivalency demonstration in its database, and we looked to understand the types of projects that they were relying on for emission reductions. And like we stated in the presentation, there are really three types of reductions that they claim. Emission reduction credits themselves at time of use value. And then they also claim ag irrigation pump, ag ice projects. And they claim orphan shutdowns. So we sampled both orphan shutdowns and electrification projects because we had already looked at ERCs in part two of the evaluation. We didn't look at ag tractors because ag tractors are not a source of emission reductions that the district uses in its equivalency database. What I can say is there have been a lot of incentives that have been spent on ag tractors that are generating real emission reductions. It's a very valuable program to the district and to CARB in providing real emission reductions, but those reductions don't have anything to do with the equivalency demonstration at all. And they don't have anything to do with the ERC system. The tractors don't.
All right, thank you.
It looks like that was our final comment at this time. We will now proceed with the next section of the presentation.
Next, we will discuss part four, which focused on authority to construct projects for application of offset requirements. For this portion of the review, we selected 30 ATC projects to review from the period of 2016 through 2018. Half of the projects were selected at random and half from a list requested by community groups. Our goal was to evaluate the engineering analyses, to replicate the results, and determine if legal and regulatory requirements were followed. We were asked to determine whether there was any difference between the ATCs at facilities requested by community groups and those selected at random. We found no difference in the district evaluation of ATCs between the facilities selected by community groups and those selected at random. Based on the limited analysis we conducted in part four, we found the district generally appears to apply its NSR program consistent with its rules and policies. Consistent with our evaluation of ERCs in part two, we also identified transparency as an issue. In 21 of 30 projects we reviewed, the district's engineering evaluations could have more clearly documented calculations or assumptions. For example, in one project, the engineering evaluation did not include emission factors or calculations used to determine the potential to emit. And in another project, the engineering evaluation did not provide any emission calculations, so the project could not be replicated. These types of evaluations should be improved going forward. Finally, we will now discuss conclusions and next steps. We have discussed the findings of the review with the district. We have three general findings. First, the ERC system needs to be more transparent to the public and industry, and it needs to be more rigorous. Second, implementation procedures and policies need to be upgraded. Third, and finally, assumptions in the equivalency demonstration need to be reviewed and revised as appropriate. After discussion with the district, they will be implementing a robust public process to address the findings in our report. The district will hold a public workshop each year before submitting the equivalency report to the district's governing board. The district will enhance the equivalency demonstration report for transparency. Finally, the district will convene a public advisory working group to assist in developing solutions related to the district's offset equivalency system, as needed to maintain an effective permitting system that allows for strong economic growth and protection of public health. The district has also committed to taking specific actions to address the findings of the report. This includes adjusting electrification projects to reflect appropriate load factors and incorporating adjustments into the 2020 equivalency demonstration, analyzing orphan shutdown projects identified in the report and making adjustments to the 2020 equivalency demonstration, and updating district policies and training to ensure orphan shutdown calculations are consistent with district NSR criteria. Staff will also take actions to address the issues identified in this report. First, we will participate in the district's process to ensure the commitments are addressed, and we will report back to the board what we find. Second, there is a growing need to understand how existing NSR programs address both regional and community scale needs. The review necessary to develop a sufficient understanding of NSR programs and how they are applied must be broader than an evaluation of a single district's program. Understanding how NSR programs work and opportunities for optimization will require participation of CARB and staff from multiple air districts. We propose to begin a discussion with the air districts and stakeholders concerning the approach for conducting a broader NSR review. Third, we intend to conduct more routine reviews of district permitting, rule, and policy actions. We are presenting the report to the CARB board on June 26, 2020. Now the report is released, the district will initiate its public process to begin addressing report findings. The district, CARB staff, environmental, and industry stakeholders will all participate in this effort. The district will be updating their equivalency demonstration, presenting the updated information through a public process, and submitting the final document to the district board and ultimately US EPA in November. We will work with the district to address their commitments and report back to the CARB board as requested. This concludes our presentation.
All right. Thank you, Brian. At this point, I'm going to ask Morgan Lambert, who's the Director of Engineering at the San Joaquin Valley Air District, who'd like to make a statement and a few comments. So, Morgan, you want to? Here we go.
All right. Good evening. My name is Morgan Lambert. I'm the Deputy Air Pollution Control Officer with the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District. I first wanted to thank CARB staff for the opportunity to make a statement this evening and for their recognition in the report of the stringency of the district's air quality management program and of the success we've had over the years in reducing stationary source emissions in the valley. District staff and CARB have worked cooperatively over the last year and a half during this review to evaluate the district's ERC program and to identify opportunities to enhance the program moving forward in a manner that will help to ensure an effective permitting program that both protects public health as well as supports economic growth and development in the valley. Furthermore, the district is committing to working closely and collaboratively with valley stakeholders, with CARB, and with the federal EPA to explore the recommendations in the report and to implement the district's commitments that were contained in the letter attached to the report. Both federal and state law mandate new and modified stationary source review permitting programs that contain offsetting and ERC banking provisions. ERCs are intended by both federal and state law to be only one part of a comprehensive NSR permitting program that has been specifically designed by Congress and by the state legislature to allow for industrial growth while tightly regulating any emissions increases. It is mentioned in the report, but the district feels it's important to reiterate that ERCs cannot be used in lieu of meeting other air pollution control requirements. This is a common misconception and is an important distinction between NSR ERC programs and credits under market-based systems that other agencies may have in place. Instead, ERCs are required in addition to and only after establishing the new emissions are controlled with best available control technology and will not cause a health risk to surrounding communities. Because the district's air quality regulations are among the most stringent requirements in the nation, it is exceedingly difficult and expensive for businesses to reduce emissions beyond rule requirements to generate ERCs. In fact, as more effective controls are developed, they are required through backed and regulatory action by the district, limiting the time that new and innovative techniques can be used to generate ERCs. The difficulty in the ability to generate and rely on new ERCs for future permitting projects underscores the challenges faced by businesses, especially in extreme ozone non-attainment areas, which even after installing best available control technology, must still provide ERCs to offset emissions increases. While the issue of surplus ERC availability is exacerbated in extreme non-attainment areas such as the district, the issue is not limited to those areas, and other air districts in the state without the same level of air quality challenges also operate federal ERC equivalency systems. In fact, over the past 20 to 30 years, there have been many discussions at the state level regarding the difficulty in generating ERCs, including statewide working groups to try to address the issue. Without sufficient ERCs, new and modifying businesses and essential public services such as hospitals, wastewater treatment facilities, and composting facilities may not be able to obtain necessary operating permits to serve local communities. While the district and CARB agree on many of the areas identified in the report and on a general path moving forward, there are areas the district and CARB have differing opinions, especially as it relates to the interpretation and application of certain provisions of local district rules and regulations as they pertain to the ERC program. While this is not uncommon in a review of this complexity and scale, and the district does not believe these points of contention undermine the overall cooperative process and ultimate agreement by ARB and by the district on a path to move forward, relying on the recommendations of CARB and the commitments by the district. In response to CARB's finding, the district is committed to taking specific steps outlined and engaging in a local public process to enhance the ERC program as needed to maintain an effective permitting system that allows for continued protection of public health and strong economic growth. Consistent with the district's core values of continuous improvement and open and transparent public processes, the district believes that CARB's recommendations highlight opportunities to enhance transparency as it relates to the district's equivalency system and specific engineering actions. The new measures committed to will build on our existing foundation of robust transparency measures, which include, amongst other things, bilingual notices of all significant proposed permitting projects, which we post on our website, the ability of interested parties to sign up and receive direct notice of all significant projects within the valley or particular facilities, and of EPA and ARB's oversight authority in their review of these projects prior to them being issued or granted. regarding the district's equivalency database system and annual offset equivalency report, the district believes that the database and report contain the information necessary to evaluate the equivalency of the district's offsetting program. However, we agree that the database system could benefit from modernization and the annual report could be made more consumable to a reviewer that may not possess a comprehensive understanding of complex NSR and offset equivalency concepts. As recognized in the report, the rules and regulations that implement NSR and ERC banking programs are very complex and require a deep understanding of policy, regulations, and decisions that have been made at the federal, state, and local level over the past 40 years. In the review, CARB questions the district's interpretation of rule provisions relating to the timeliness of ERC applications and the determination of what are considered surplus emission reductions at the time of ERC banking. While the district recognizes the complexity associated with these issues identified in the review, it is important to note that the district has adopted and follows policies and procedures to ensure consistent, fair, and reasonable application of its rules. Furthermore, the areas in question are local requirements of district NSR and ERC banking programs and are beyond any requirements in state or federal law relating to ERCs. Consistent with the district's offset equivalency agreement with the federal EPA and the provisions of the district's NSR rule, the district utilizes the surplus value of emission reductions across various categories to demonstrate equivalency with federal offsetting requirements on an annual basis. As detailed in the report, there was an inconsistency in the district's methodology for calculating emission reductions from certain agricultural engine electrification projects relative to the Moyer methodologies. The district is committed to evaluating and adjusting the calculated emission reductions from all affected AgEyes projects to reflect the appropriate emission reductions and incorporate these adjustments into the 2020 equivalency demonstration. Additionally, similar to other districts in California, the district uses unbanked facility shutdowns, so-called orphan shutdowns, to address equivalency with federal offsetting requirements. Each orphan shutdown represents a unique set of circumstances that determines the amount of credit that can be claimed. CARB's review identified some inconsistency in the crediting of emission reductions from certain orphan shutdown projects. The district is committed to analyzing the orphan shutdown projects identified by CARB, making adjustments as appropriate for inclusion in the 2020 equivalency demonstration. So in closing, the district is committed to working closely with Valley stakeholders and CARB to address the recommendations and implement our commitments collaboratively to ensure an ERC program moving forward that continues to serve our shared goals of public health protection and economic viability in the valley. Thank you.
So thank you, Morgan. I really appreciate your statement. And I just want to thank the district on behalf of CARB. You guys have been working. You guys have really helped us out by providing the information we needed to be able to do the report. We very much appreciate it. And we're excited about the process of continuing to work with you as you implement the commitments. So thank you. With that, I think I'll turn it over to David. I believe we can address comments and as many questions as people have. So.
Thanks, Todd. One last reminder, if you wish to verbally comment, please virtually raise your hand now using the raise hand feature on Zoom or by dialing *9 via the telephone. The first three commenters are going to be Thomas Franz, followed by Cynthia Pinto Cabrera, and finally Christine Zimmerman. Thomas Franz, I have activated your microphone. Please unmute yourself to begin your comments.
Yes, Tom Franz from Kern County. First, just a comment. I take strong exception to what one thing Mr. Lambert just said, and that was that by requiring a BACT or best available control technology on a new facility, it eliminates the health effects, the negative health effects on the surrounding community. That is totally false, especially when the remaining emissions that do have health effects are offset by 40-year-old emission reduction credits from perhaps up to 250 miles away. But anyway, you can listen to the recording to see if I heard that correctly. The question I have, though, is about greenhouse gas ERCs, which was in the report. It's mentioned. There was one particular certificate, I think it was S1123816, that's owned by Chevron. It's about 250,000 tons of CO2 equivalent per year. This was issued, I believe, in 2017. It was based on an event that took place before cap and trade was fully in place in 2007. And I'd like you to comment, one, on the timeliness of that, since it was an event that took place 10 years earlier. And second, what really is your recommendation about the Air District dealing in ERCs for greenhouse gas emission credits, reduction credits? And the reason I ask is we've worked for years now to get developers who aren't regulated under CEQA to mitigate for increases in greenhouse gas emissions, like putting in electric vehicle chargers, putting solar panels on buildings and parking lots and so on. And if they can just cheaply buy emission reduction credits from this bank for their greenhouse gas emissions, you know, that's not kosher. And so I'd like a comment on the timeliness of some of that and even the appropriateness of the Air District being unique in the state of California in dealing with greenhouse gas emission reduction credits. It doesn't seem appropriate to me.
Okay. This is Todd Sachs. I'll start. And then Brian, if you want to chime in, feel free. We do touch on that ERC 1123816 on page 29 of the report. We talk about it in terms of accounting for global demand for activity on a global basis. And what we found is that some of the ERCs didn't really apply a global level of certainty. So we're not sure if the issuance of the ERC necessarily made sense. But at the same time, when we looked at those ERCs, none of them had actually been used for anything. So while the district had generated the ERC, it's not clear what the ERC was generated for. They're not anything that can be used related to the cap and trade program. They can be used, I think, in the context of CEQA. But again, we didn't find any evidence that they had been used in any way. And we discuss in the report some of our concerns with regards to source shifting and whether or not it was appropriate to issue those ERCs. But it wasn't something we chose to highlight today because while it's an issue, it's not among the most significant issues that we raised with the district.
The next commenter will be Cynthia Pinto Cabrera. Cynthia, I have activated your microphone. Please unmute yourself to begin your comments.
Hi, Cynthia here again with CVAC. I just had a question regarding where EPA is in all of this, given the fact that the district does turn in these equivalency demonstrations to them. I think it's extremely important that they're also aware of this process and your findings. So just wondering where EPA is and all this.
This is Todd Sachs again. Our understanding is that EPA is aware of this. We've had a few discussions with them about it. I think at a general level, we're hopeful that we'll all be able to participate in the public process going forward to address the commitments that the district has made, and we'll take it from there. I don't know if any, there is a representative on EPA on the call, and so if she would like to say something, it's Amy Zimfer, so we could unmute her if she wants to speak.
Amy, I've activated your microphone. Please unmute yourself.
Yes, good evening, everyone. This is Amy Zimfer. I'm an assistant director at EPA, and I very much appreciate the question. And we just received the report when others received the report, and we will be looking at it very closely and have begun conversations with the Air Resources Board, and we will participate in the public advisory group as the district develops approaches to addressing the recommendations in the report. Additionally, we will be looking forward to receiving the next equivalency report, which is due to us in November of this year. It will cover the August 2019 to August 2020 emission reduction credits. And that will really be the first time we'll have an opportunity to see how the findings that CARB has in this report are reflected in the next report. So we are very much appreciative of the effort that CARB undertook here, as well as the interaction with the district. And I do very much appreciate the question, and that is why myself and Laura Yanian, who's our permits office chief, is also listening in tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Amy, for answering my question and for being here, taking the time to answer these questions. So that's the only question I had. And again, I wanted to thank CARB staff for this presentation and for our district staff and EPA that's on the call here to answer questions.
The next comment will be from Christine Zimmerman. Christine,
I'm sorry. Pardon me. Thank you. My name is Christine Zimmerman, and I am with Western States Petroleum Association. I just wanted to chime in for a moment to thank the Air Resources Board, enforcement staff, Todd and his staff, and the staff of the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District for the thorough review. We know it was a collaborative and detailed process, and we appreciate the hard work that they did. We appreciate that EPA is on the call this evening. We're excited about the report. We look forward to engaging in the process as a stakeholder to develop the opportunities identified in the final report with the district and CARB staff, with the regulated community, and with all stakeholders. We also wanted to just note that we support the district's response letter that was published with the report. We hope to continue to seek further clarification. We know there are a lot of ways to interpret a lot of the conclusions drawn in the report, and we look forward to that process. We're committed to it, and we just look forward to moving forward in a manner that results in a transparent, viable, and robust ERC program that is protective of public health, as always, and that allows for the economic health of the San Joaquin Valley's residents. And that was all I wanted to say. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Are there additional comments? Oh.
It looks like we have another comment from Manuel Huna. Manuel, I have activated your microphone. Please unmute yourself and begin your comments.
Can you hear me, Todd?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, I did it absolutely correct. First time ever. So thank God for technology, I guess. And I guess I'm not too old to learn. First, I want to thank the Air District and the entire staff and you and your staff for collaborating and working together civilly, professionally, and trying to resolve discussions of the most complex issue that's out there. And ERCs are not an easy issue, especially when you're dealing with load factors, et cetera, et cetera. So, and I support very much the letter in response that the district forwarded to you and your staff and to Mr. Richwell, to Mr. Richard Corey. I appreciate that. We will work very closely with the ARB team, as well as the Air District's process and EPA, so that in the future, no one can ever say that the district sent stuff to Sacramento and wasn't reviewed. Now it is going to be reviewed in every inch of the way, because all the SIPs that have been submitted from this district, every SIP in the San Joaquin Valley, the 7 or 8 or 9, have been sent to ARB for its approval of a SIP. And then finally have gone to EPA. And EPA still hasn't approved several SIPs yet that are probably a couple years old. probably the oldest is probably 15 or 16. But in saying that, the one thing I appreciate what you said, Todd, in the comments at the end, or maybe David did, was that you are going to now look at other air districts and what they have done as well, because it's a very complex issue across, and I know Los Angeles or LA or South Coast Air Basin has no ERCs just about at all. And if they did, they did use whatever they had. So I appreciate in the report that you acknowledge that you're going to work with CAPCOA and other air districts to look at all of their activities as well, not just the basis of the San Joaquin Valley. And that I look forward in that we look at the whole state's air districts, all 34 air districts, and those that do have ERCs in the stationary arena that are permitted, that you folks move forward with that. And so that at the end, we have a very robust and honest method of calculations and real ERCs, and all of those things are factual. But I do appreciate now that the next SIP, and in the existing SIP, that the ERCs that are going forward in November, no one should be able to say that they did not have an opportunity, because you, ARB, the district, the San Joaquin Valley board with Samir Sheikh and his team, and EPA, the industry, and the public will have an opportunity to be a part of this process. So no one will be able to say something after November or December that they didn't have a part, when everybody is now being asked and is going to be a part of that. And I appreciate it in the report. But I do look forward in that you go forward and continue forward, the ARB staff. It may not be you and your team. It may be maybe the stationary source people, whatever, that will evaluate other air districts and their processes as well. So again, I thank you for being very professional. I appreciate you reporting to the CAC when we've asked you to go forward and do presentations. I know that you've been very open to that with your staff, and we appreciate that very much. And so thank you.
Thank you. Are there additional questions from anyone out there? Dave, is there anything in the email? Nothing? Okay. Okay. Any final comments? Going once, going twice? All right. Then I'd like to thank everyone for participating today. And I would like to thank Morgan Lambert for his statement and the district for their assistance in this review. And again, we will be presenting to the board, the CAR board, on June 26th. So if you have comments, would like to participate, I invite you to do that. And again, we all look forward to the public process led by the district as they work to implement the commitments that they've identified in their letter. So thank you all very much, and we all look forward to working together in the future. Thank you.